Be turning in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter number 16. In John, chapter number 16, our Lord is with His disciples in the upper room, and we find that He is preparing them for a brand new way of living. And He's about to go to the cross, just hours away from His arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know that, of course, then He's going to be tried and He's going to be crucified the next day. And we find that then He is obviously going to be buried in a tomb, and then after that resurrected and ascending to the right hand of the Father. He's getting ready to leave, and He's been explaining that here to His disciples, that He's getting ready to go away. And we find that as He explained to that, He also told them that one of them is going to betray Him. They're all asking, "Is it I?" And we find that He told them that indeed one of them was going to deny Him. And of course we know that indeed it would be Peter who would deny Him three times that very night. And with all of these things that have been said, the disciples of our Lord indeed are extremely sorrowful and discouraged. As a matter of fact, they probably were feeling somewhat like we do at times when we get a little bit discouraged and disillusioned as to what it is that God is really up to and what He is doing. To them, it looked as though and it felt as though that everything that they had been striving for and working towards with regard to their following after Christ was getting ready to fall apart. That is, if what Jesus said is true, if He's going to be arrested, if He's going to be crucified, if one of them is going to betray Him, and if one of them is going to deny Him, then everything is falling apart that they have been working and striving towards. And so we find that our Lord is addressing these sorrowing disciples, and He's doing so to prepare them for what's about to happen, that is, for His death and His resurrection, His ascension to the right hand, but also He's preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's getting them ready for the fact that they are about to enter into a brand new age or dispensation in which we would refer to as the New Covenant or the New Testament. And one of the things that will characterize this new age, this new dispensation, is the coming and the indwelling and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a whole new age. And the reason why is because those who are redeemed by the grace of God, all of them are going to be indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we find that He's trying to communicate that and reveal that to them, that is, give them some insight as to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who He said in chapter 14 not only would be among them, but would actually be living on the inside of them. Here in chapter number 16, He brings that message to a real height, that is, about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's been speaking about the Holy Spirit all through this experience in the upper room, especially beginning in chapter 14. But we find that He kind of brings it to a climactic point here in chapter number 16. Those of you that were in the services this past Sunday will remember that I spoke to you Sunday morning about what I called the comforting of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in comforting the weak. He's referred to as the comforter in verse number 7. Jesus said that it was expedient that He go away. That is, it was necessary and needful for Him to go away. And the reason why is because if He didn't go away, then the Holy Spirit, that is the Comforter, would not come to them. That is, in order for the Comforter or the Holy Spirit to come in this new dispensation, this new age, the new covenant, in order for that to happen, then atonement had to be made. The price had to be paid. That is, the work of redemption had to be completed at the cross, followed by the resurrection from the tomb the third day. And upon the completion of the work of redemption, then the Spirit of God would come to inaugurate this new age, this new time, the new covenant that we read about. And so we find that He said, "It's necessary that I go away. The Holy Spirit won't come unless I go away first." And He refers to Him there in verse number 7 as the Comforter, a word that means, that speaks of someone who comes alongside of us in life in order to help us. He is our Helper. And I tried to spend some time Sunday morning just thinking about some of the areas in which we are weak and need some help. We looked at some things found in the Bible. I gave you, I think there was about 10 different areas of our life in which we are weak and we need the help of the Holy Spirit. In the area of Christ-likeness, become like Christ. In the area of our prayer life, that is, in the area of evangelism or witnessing, we need His power. I gave you about 10 different things in that message describing the area in which we need help. The comforting work of the Holy Spirit is not just about putting an arm around us when we're feeling a little bit down emotionally. We are weak in the area of our prayer life. We're weak in the area of evangelism. We're weak in the area of Christ-likeness. We are weak in so many areas of our life. And the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us will help us. He will comfort us or help us in those areas in which we are indeed weak. And so we find that He is the one who is here comforting the weak. The second thing that we discovered about the ministry of the Holy Spirit this past Sunday night is that the Holy Spirit also will be convicting the world. While He'll be comforting the weak, His role is that of convicting the world. Jesus said in the beginning of verse number 8 that when He comes, the Holy Spirit, that indeed He will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We looked at each one of those three aspects of the nature of the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And that is that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, one of the aspects of His ministry, is to convince or to convict the hearts of those who are lost, described here as the world, to convict or convince their hearts of their sinful condition, of the righteousness of Christ that we so desperately need, and of the judgment that we are under as part of the world, that we are under the judgment of God, that we desperately need Him to forgive us, to cleanse us of our sin. We desperately need Christ, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And I tried to describe that to you, even though probably many of you, if not all of you that are here tonight, remember that time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart and convinced you of your lost, sinful condition, and brought you to the point of realizing your desperate need for Christ. That was the work of the Holy Spirit, who brought you to that point of repenting of your sins and receiving Christ as Lord of your life. There is the convicting of work of the Holy Spirit. When we're thinking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus describes His role as comforting the weak, and He describes His ministry of convicting the world. But I'd like for us to focus for a little while this evening on His role in ministry of communicating the Word. His role in ministry of communicating the Word. Beginning in verse number 12, I'll read it to you, and then we're going to go back and try to carefully understand what it is that the Lord is talking about here. Beginning in verse number 12, He said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." It reminds me of the words of the Ethiopian whenever he was leaving Jerusalem and he was searching the book of Isaiah. And we find that indeed it was Philip that was sent there by the Holy Spirit. And when he pulled up beside that Ethiopian, you might remember that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, and Philip asked him if he understood what it was that he was reading. And he said this, "How can I except some man guide me?" He needed divine guidance. And even so it is, the Holy Spirit has come, has He not, to give us divine guidance. Notice with me as we continue reading in verse number 13. "For He shall not speak of Himself." That is, the Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself. That is, what He reveals is not about Himself. "But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore, said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you." That the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that of communicating the Word. Now the theme of the divine Word is what began John's Gospel. When you go back to John chapter number 1, you'll find that you're introduced to the theme of the divine Word. Back in John chapter number 1, listen to what it says as the Gospel writer begins. John the first chapter, here's how the book begins. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." And the Bible says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. "The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so we find that in the beginning, that is, at creation, there was already the divine Word. And everything was made by Him. He was with God and He was God. Who is the divine Word? Verse 14 of this chapter says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know that the Word that has existed eternally along with the Father and that created all things became flesh. The Bible describes him as the only begotten Son of the Father. We know who the Word is, don't we? The divine Word is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Whenever John was writing his epistle, he not only began the Gospel of John by writing about the Word, but he began the Epistle of John, 1 John, by writing about the Word. He referred to him in 1 John 1, verse 1, as the Word of life. And so whenever we're talking about the Word, the divine Word, we're talking about the second person of the Godhead. And throughout this book, throughout the book of John, the divine Word has been communicating. The divine Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. The divine Word who existed eternally with the Father and created all things, who became flesh in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary. Remember him? Even so, that divine Word throughout the Gospel of John has been communicating through his words and his works. By the words that he said, the messages that he preached, the works that he did, the miracles that he performed, he has been communicating. He has been revealing who he is. He's been revealing who the Father is. He's been revealing the divine plan. And he's been communicating through his words and his works. But now he's telling his disciples, the divine Word who's been communicating, he's telling his disciples that he's going to go away. He's getting ready to leave. He's going to die on the cross, be raised the third day, ascend to the right hand, and he will be gone. So how's the divine Word going to be communicated if he is gone? Well, we're learning that the divine Word will continue to be communicated after he's gone. And the reason why is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will continue the ministry of communicating the divine Word. He'll continue that ministry. Now, when we're talking about or speaking about the Holy Spirit communicating the Word, we've got to touch on at least three different aspects of that. First of all, we're talking about communicating the Word through revelation. Through revelation. What I mean by that, when I'm speaking of revelation, I'm speaking of the unveiling or the uncovering of God's truth to humanity. That is, the unveiling or the uncovering of God's truth to humanity. The uncovering of truth that has not been uncovered before. Revelation means something is being uncovered or communicated that has not been communicated or unveiled prior to this. Something is being revealed. Now, in the Old Testament, we find that God is a revealing God. As a matter of fact, you find throughout the Bible, God is a God of revelation. That is, he's a God who reveals himself and he reveals his truth to humanity. We know that God has revealed certain aspects of himself through creation, both in the Old Testament, and Paul confirms it in the New Testament, and that is that the person and the power of God can be seen in creation itself. When God created everything that exists, he revealed some things about himself, didn't he? He revealed the wisdom of God. That is, when you look at creation, you'll realize that God is an all-wise God. And when you look at creation, you realize the existence of God. That is, that God really does exist. And the creation testifies and gives testimony to the fact of God's existence and to the fact of God's wisdom and to the fact of God's power. An all-powerful God exists. That is, creation, like you and I see it and know it, does not come into existence on its own. There's a powerful God who created all that exists. So God has revealed himself in creation. When you study through the Old Testament, you'll find that God revealed himself in the law. That is, as you read the Old Testament law that was given to the nation of Israel, you'll find there that God revealed many things about himself. God revealed indeed the nature of his being. He's a holy and righteous God, as he reveals there in the law. All of the demands of the law reveal that this God is a holy and righteous God. That is, God reveals himself in the law. Did you know that in the Old Testament that God revealed himself through visions and dreams? Well, I remember one time reading about Joseph having this dream about all of his brothers bowing down to him, and it was God speaking and revealing to him what was going to happen in the future. Listen, I remember Daniel interpreting the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that? And as he did, all of the future, right down to the time of the Antichrist, including the day that we live in, is prophesied about in that time. So there's visions and revelations in which God is revealing Himself, unveiling truth throughout the Old Testament. Angels are coming and revealing truth. That is, God reveals Himself through angels in the Old Testament. Angels are showing up and revealing God's truth. And by the way, God does that in the New Testament. There are dreams and visions. There are angels as well. And then there are the prophets of the Old Testament. God set aside some men, and He spoke through those men, the prophets of the Old Testament. That is, over and over again, hundreds of times in the Old Testament, you'll see the prophets speaking what they called the word of the Lord. That is, they began to speak, and as they spoke, they were revealing divine truth. That is, that was revealed to them. God is revealing divine truth through the mouths of the prophets of the Old Testament. Well, we find that the revelation of God that began in the Old Testament reached its climax in the person of Christ. Listen to what it says in the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Over in Hebrews chapter number 1, some of you will remember this passage, but let me just remind you of it. It says, God, beginning of verse 1, chapter 1, Hebrews, God who at sundry times and in divers or various different kinds of manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholdeth all things by the word of His power, when He had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that the God who revealed Himself in the Old Testament has fully and finally revealed Himself in the divine Son. That is, in the Son of God, whom He sent into the world, the divine Word who became flesh. God's full revelation is found in His Son. Ladies and gentlemen, all that was revealed in the Old Testament was pointing towards the Son. All that you read about in the New Testament is pointing back to Him. That is, God's supreme revelation has found itself, personalized itself, in the One who is the express image of the person of God. I'm talking about, of course, God the Son. This full, complete revelation in Christ is continuing to be communicated now by the Holy Spirit. That is, God has revealed Himself in the person and work of Christ. And that revelation in Christ is indeed being communicated by the Holy Spirit. There's a key passage to help us understand indeed the revelation from the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I'll read it to you and then we'll move along. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9, it says this, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Now we quote that verse a lot of times, don't we? By itself. And that is that we just can't even, it's impossible for us to know all the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But verse 10 clarifies this. Listen to what it says. "But God has revealed them." That is, the things that men have never seen, things that men have never heard, things that men, that has never entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for them to love them, God has revealed them unto us. Notice, by His Spirit. Paul said God has revealed those things. Those things are not hidden any longer. They are revealed to us by the Spirit. He says, "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." The Spirit of God knows everything about God, everything that there is about what God, who God is and what God has prepared for us. Those things have been revealed by the Spirit. Now, verse 12 says, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God," so that we can know. The Spirit of God has revealed these things so that we can know about all the things that are given to us by God. Notice verse 13, "Which things also we speak." Paul said, these are the things I've been preaching to you about that's been revealed by the Holy Spirit. Preach, he says, "I speak them not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." I'll stop right there just to say to you very briefly that the full revelation of God that has come in Christ is no longer hidden, but it is revealed. And the agent of revelation, the one who is revealing all the great things that have been brought about in Christ, that God has accomplished in Christ, is the person of the Holy Spirit. They've been revealed to us, Paul said, by the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back to our text now, back in the book of John, chapter number 16, and see the necessity of the revelation. That is, why is it that the Holy Spirit, His ministry is to unveil or uncover all the great and wonderful truths about who we are and what we have in Christ? Why is He doing this ministry? The necessity of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, why didn't the Lord just go ahead and just give it all to them right then and there? They were in the upper room. He's getting ready to go away. Why didn't He just go ahead and lay it all out there for them? Look at with me, if you would, in verse number 12. Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." The reason why that they had to wait until the Spirit came, instead of being able to receive all this revelation from the Lord that very night in the upper room, is because Jesus said here that they were not able to bear the truths that were yet to be revealed. They just were not ready for it. There was much more revelation that Christ would communicate to His apostles, but since they were not ready for it, it would not be communicated by Him that night, but it would be communicated by the Holy Spirit. He would guide them into all truth. I've asked myself the question, why were they not able to bear it then? I've come up with three answers. There may be more or better ones than these. But one of the reasons why is because they were filled with sorrow. Verse number 6 tells us, indeed, he says, "Because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." What the Lord did say to them caused them to be full of deep sorrow. That word there means they were full of deep grief. And therefore, they were not ready for anything else. Have you ever grieved so deeply? Some of you have had great loss in your life, and you know what it is to grieve deeply. As a matter of fact, some folks who grieve deeply, that time period later on after they come through it seems like a blur, and it's hard for them to even remember everything that happened during that time. That's the frame of mind that these disciples were in. They were sorrowing. So one of the reasons why they weren't able to bear it then is because they were filled with sorrow. Another reason is because they misunderstood the Son. Why, a good example of this is in John chapter 12 and verse number 16. They simply did not understand what Jesus was telling them as He was revealing truth to them. In John 12 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "These things understood not His disciples at the first." They didn't understand what was going on. This is the triumphal entry passage. They had no idea what was going on. And the Bible says, "But when Jesus was glorified," that's talking about His death and resurrection, "then remembered they that these things were written of Him and that they had done these things unto Him." In other words, we find that typical, and this is just one example in the Gospel of John where it's evident that the disciples, even though they're right in the middle of prophecy being fulfilled, of God's will being accomplished, they did not see it that way. They did not understand it that way. Just like in Matthew's gospel, where the Bible says that our Lord revealed to the disciples that He was going to Jerusalem to die and to be raised the third day. Remember that? And Peter turned around and said, "Not so, Lord, we'll never let that happen to you." And I love that passage because Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." They had no idea. Their understanding of what Christ was revealing to them just was not there. They were misunderstanding. They were not understanding what Jesus was saying. So they weren't able. They weren't ready for all this revelation yet, because of these, because they were filled with sorrow and because they misunderstood the Son, but mostly because they needed the Spirit. In order to understand the revelation that was coming to them, they needed the indwelling and the anointing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We discovered in John 14 and verse number 26, where Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you all things. They needed the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, enabling them, enlightening them, in order to be able to understand the revelation that was still yet to come. So it's because they were filled with sorrow. It's because they kept misunderstanding the Son. And it's because they needed the Spirit. Therefore, they were not able to bear all the revelation that Christ wanted to give to them. That's why that the Spirit would have to continue. After Christ was gone, He would have to continue the ministry of revealing divine truth, because they were not able to bear it right now. And so we find there is the necessity of this revelation that the Spirit would communicate to them. And then I want you to think with me about the source of the revelation. Right here in our text now, in John chapter number 16, notice in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Notice now the next phrase, "For he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." The source of this revelation that he's going to reveal or speak is what he hears or receives. And he'll show you things to come, the Bible says. In verse number 14, it says, "He shall glorify me." And then it says, "He will receive of mine and shall show it or reveal it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine." In other words, the Father has given all things into the hands of the Son. "And therefore he said, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." I want you to see the progress of divine revelation. It begins with the Father through the Son and is communicated by the Spirit. That is, he'll take of mine, which was given to him by the Father. That is, the Father has given all things to the Son, and it is that the Holy Spirit is going to take and communicate or reveal. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the truth that the Holy Spirit will reveal to the apostles will come from the Son, which was revealed from the Father. We should say this: the truth revealed by God came from the Father through the Son, as communicated by the Spirit. You ought to see the oneness of the Godhead at work in this revelation. Now, the Lord has already made it clear that the truth he has been revealing through his words and his works came from the Father in heaven. The words that he was speaking, the works that he was doing, the revelation that he was giving is that which came from the Father. Let me show you a few verses here just in John's gospel. Over in John chapter number 5, for example, over in John the 5th chapter in verse number 19. Listen to what it says. John 5:19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." The Lord is making it clear that his very works are the works of the Father. Over in John chapter number 7 and verse number 14, listen to what the Lord reveals. John 7:14, here's what it says. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" How does he know all of this? How does he have all this knowledge without ever having gone to their schools, in other words? "And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So it was the teaching, his teaching was that which came from the Father. You'll see it again in chapter 8 of John's gospel in verse number 26. He says, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." Jesus said, "The things that I speak are the things that I've heard or received from him." John chapter number 12 and verse number 47. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus spoke that which was revealed to him by the Father. You'll see it again in the upper room in chapter 14 and verse number 10. Jesus said, "Believest thou," he's talking of course to Philip, "believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." His words came from the Father and his works came from the Father. And now we find that Jesus said that which the Father has given to him, that he's been speaking and doing, is going to be communicated by the Holy Spirit. Just like the Son revealed that which came from the Father, the Holy Spirit is going to take that which was revealed to the Son by the Father and reveal it to the disciples. So after the Lord is glorified, after he's exalted to the right hand, the Holy Spirit is going to continue to communicate this very revelation that originated from the Father and came through the Son. He's going to continue to communicate that revelation. You all know this already, don't you? But the Holy Spirit does not speak anything that does not line up with the will of the Father and the purpose of the Son. He never does. Everything that he reveals is that which lines up with the Father and also with the Son. And it's communicated by the Spirit. There's groups in our society today that are under the umbrella of Christianity that indeed emphasize the role of the Spirit above the role of the Father and of the Son. Can I say to you that most of those groups are in dangerous territory? Because the Son never operates outside of the realm of the work and the will and the ways of God the Father and God the Son. That's the truth that is being verified for us here. The source of the revelation is the Father through the Son, now communicated by the Spirit. Well, notice with me not only the necessity of the revelation and the source of the revelation, but let's think about the focus of this revelation. In the very verses that we just read, in verses 13 and 14, it becomes obvious that the revelation that the Spirit is going to communicate is all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. Jesus said he's going to take of mine and reveal it unto you. That is, the focus is on the person of Jesus Christ. Back in chapter number 15 and in John's Gospel in verse number 26, this is nailed down for us, where Jesus said, "But the Comforter, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." In other words, the focus of what he is going to reveal is all about Jesus. It's all about the person of Christ. You can read about it in 1 John 5, verse number 6, where the Bible talks about the fact that it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness. There are the witnesses in heaven and the witnesses on earth, and the Spirit bears witness to the person of Christ that he really is the Son of God. He bears witness to his deity and his humanity. You know the reason why that we know that Jesus is the Son of God? Because the Holy Spirit said so. You say, "Well, I thought it was because of what the Bible said." It's the same thing. It's because the Holy Spirit said so, and I'll show you that in a moment. Not only that, but also he reveals his humanity. When I'm talking about the person of Christ, we're talking about his deity and his humanity. The Holy Spirit has made it real to us that Jesus is God, but the one who is God also became flesh. He became real man. 100% God and 100% man. The Holy Spirit reveals that to us. He not only reveals the person of Christ, but he also reveals the work of Christ. That is, we find that the Holy Spirit reveals to us his virgin birth. The Holy Spirit reveals to us his perfect life. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us his sacrificial death. He's revealed to us his glorious resurrection. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us the work of Christ. The miracles that Jesus did, they're revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. He revealed the miracles of Christ, all the works of Christ, all that Jesus accomplished is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Why, Jesus talked about his works in John 14, verses 11 and 12, and how that after he's gone, his works are going to continue, and these disciples are even going to do greater works than he did, and the reason why is because of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Why, the Holy Spirit revealed not only the person of Christ, but he's revealed the works of Christ. He has revealed the words of Christ. Remember John 14, verse 26, where Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of all the things that I've said to you." That's right. The things that Jesus taught, the Holy Spirit reminded these disciples, and that's the reason why that we have the teachings of Christ that right before us in our Bible. He revealed the teachings or the words of Christ. Why, the Holy Spirit revealed to us about the body of Christ. Did you know the body of Christ? When I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm talking about the church. That is, within the body of Christ, there are Jews and there are Gentiles, and they're all placed into one body by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Did you know that this is a mystery that was hidden in ages past? When you read through the Old Testament, you don't read about the body of Christ. You don't read about the Jews and Gentiles in one body. It's a mystery hidden in ages past, but it's revealed now, isn't it? Look in Ephesians 3 real quick and let me just show it to you. In Ephesians chapter number 3, notice what it says in verse number 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto us the mystery. By revelation he made known to us a mystery, something that had not been revealed before. He said, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Notice verse 5, which in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Before it was not revealed, but as it is now, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Now listen, by the Spirit. Do you see it there? The mystery of this dispensation. What is the mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. That's right. That God would take Gentiles and place them into the same body in Christ like the Jews who believe. It was a mystery unheard of in ages past, but now revealed by the Holy Spirit. Revealed by the Spirit. Not only the person and the work of Christ, not only the words of Christ, not only the body of Christ, but I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, even the return of Christ revealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in verse number 13 that we just read that he will show you things to come. That's right. He'll reveal to you, the Spirit of God will reveal to you things to come. Now that may be speaking of all that was revealed about the church that was to come, but it also has to be referring to the return of Jesus Christ. As you read through the Bible, you'll read about the return of Christ. Jesus spoke about his return over and over again in the Gospels. Why, listen, the early church preached about his return in the book of Acts. Paul wrote about his return in his epistles, as did Peter. And then John received, at the end of the Bible, John received that revelation. He was caught up into the heavens by the Holy Spirit, and there was revealed to him the events of the last days. He will show you things to come. You know the reason why you and I know as much as we know about the return of Christ? It's because of the Holy Spirit communicating the Word through revelation. That's right. Uncovering and unveiling divine truth. I tell you, the focus of the revelation is also about the glory of Christ. The glory. Don't you like what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in verse 14, he shall glorify me. Let me just remind you that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to glorify his own work, but the work of Christ. His purpose is to glorify the Lord Jesus. And the focus of his revelation is all about the glory of Christ. I'm talking about the glory of his finished work on the cross. I'm talking about the glory of his bodily resurrection from the dead. I'm talking about the glory of his exaltation to the right hand of God. I'm talking about the glory of his second coming. I'm talking about the glory of his eternal reign. The Holy Spirit. The revelation is focused on the glory of Christ. Here's my point to you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is that of communicating the Word. And one of the ways that he has communicated the Word is through revelation. He uncovered or unveiled the truth that's focused on the person, the work, that is the words of Christ. His glory, I tell you, his coming, revealed by the Holy Spirit. Unveiled and uncovered. There's a second aspect of his communicating that I need to speak to you about for a few moments. The Holy Spirit not only communicates the Word through revelation, by the unveiling of divine truth, but also through inspiration. Not only by revelation, but by inspiration. Now I use the word inspiration because that's the word that Paul uses about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16, he uses this word, inspiration. He says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that little word, inspiration, that is used there, it comes from a compound Greek word, theonoustos. It's two words. Theos means God, and noustos means wind or breath or air or spirit. That is, the scripture, the Bible says here, comes by the divine breath of God. It is the breath of God that is given to us, the scripture. And we find there that we should understand the inspiration or the divine breath, the God-breathed scripture. We should understand that divine breath as being none other than the Holy Spirit. Just like when Peter wrote about the Old Testament saints, the prophets who wrote the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit, they were moved, they wrote as they were moved by, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The idea seems to be, is indeed that the Holy Spirit of God not only communicated the word through revelation by uncovering the truth so that these apostles would know the truth, but also he moved in such a way, the Holy Spirit operated in such a way that this revealed truth also came to us now in written form. It not only was revealed to the apostles and spoken by them, but it was also, ladies and gentlemen, it was also given by the Spirit in such a way that it was given in written form. The nature of inspiration implies that. That is, the Holy Spirit, the divine breath, moved. And the product of inspiration is revealed to us there in verse number 16, 2 Timothy 3. And that is, the product of His move, His work of inspiration, is the Scriptures. The Scriptures. The Bible says there that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. As a result of the working, the divine breath, the moving of the Holy Spirit, we have the Scriptures. Now, that is speaking there primarily of the Old Testament Scriptures. That is, the Old Testament Scriptures were given to us by the Spirit of God. The reason why that Moses wrote the book of Genesis is according to 2 Peter chapter number 1 and by verse number 21. It's because the Spirit of God moved on that great prophet in the Old Testament. That's right. Divinely inspired. Listen to me. The Old Testament books are divinely inspired. They are the Word of God. That is, the source of the Bible is not man. It is not the genius of men that brought together this book, written by all these authors over hundreds of years, that demonstrates a unity or a wholeness. Listen, a miracle like you and I have in the Bible could not have happened by the genius of man. But it happened as a result of the inspiration of God. That is, God the Holy Spirit, the divine breath, worked, moved. And as a result of the moving of the divine breath, as a moving of the Spirit of God, we have this book. Not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well. Because as you read through the New Testament, it's obvious that Jesus in the Gospels knew that He was speaking the divine word. It's obvious as you read in the epistles that those who were writing the epistles, that is Paul and others, had an understanding that what they were writing was indeed the Word of God. And so you and I should understand not only the Old but the New Testament as being divinely inspired. The product of the moving of the Holy Spirit, the communicating work of the Holy Spirit in inspiration, is indeed the Scriptures. Now here in this passage in 2 Timothy 3, we not only see the product of inspiration, but we also see the prophet of inspiration. As a result of the fact that the Holy Spirit moved in inspiration, giving us the Scriptures. As a result of that, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy here, all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. That is, it will profit you, Timothy. The Scriptures, the inspired Scriptures, will profit you in four different areas. Number one, it is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine there means the process and the content of what is being taught. In other words, if you and I are going to know what it is that we should be teaching, Timothy, if you're going to know what you ought to be teaching, then you need to go to the divinely inspired Scriptures. The Spirit has spoken. The Spirit has communicated. And as a result of what He has communicated, we have the product. We have the Scriptures. And the Scriptures, as a result, is the foundation for all of our teaching, for all of our doctrine. You and I know what we ought to be teaching because we have the Scriptures. Not only is it profitable for doctrine, but also for reproof. Now that word should sound familiar to you because we discovered in the previous verses in chapter number 16 that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And now we find this word used again here with regard to Timothy. He says that the Holy Spirit of God is going to move in such a way that we have the Scriptures. And as a result of having the Scriptures, not only do we have what we need for doctrine, but also for reproving. In other words, the means by which the Holy Spirit does His work of reproving is through the Scriptures as spoken by the saints. That's a reason why that we heard a testimony earlier about someone who gave a gospel tract to somebody else. Some saint sat down and wrote a little gospel tract based on the truth revealed in Scripture to hand to somebody else. And who knows if the Holy Spirit will take that truth and reprove that heart, convicting them of sin and righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove is the idea of exposing sin, revealing sin for what it is. You know the reason why we know what sin is because we have this book. It's because we have this book. This book reveals sin for what it is. It reproves. It shows us where we're wrong. It shows us our error. Even us as believers, does it not convict our hearts and reveal to us the error that we've been in? The wrong direction we've gone in? The bad decisions we've made? And this book reproves us. Not only is it profitable for doctrine and reproof, but also for correction. Not only does the Scripture reveal to us what's wrong, but the Bible reveals to us how to straighten it out. The idea of correction is the idea of, literally the word that's translated here would be used of setting a bone or mending a fisher's net. That is, when something is broke and you fix it. And even so, the Scripture's not going to reveal to us what is broke, what is wrong, what is sin, but it reveals to us how to fix the problem, doesn't it? Because it reveals to us Christ and His work. And reveals to us correction. How do I know how to get right? Because of this book. Not only for correction, but then finally instruction in righteousness. The idea seems to be here is this, and that is that you and I can be taught, can learn what is right. There's a real truth taught throughout the Bible about our position of righteousness. That is that you and I who are believers are positioned as righteous in His sight. But I don't know about you, but even though I'm positioned as righteous before Him, even though that's true, my condition here on the earth has a little room to grow when it comes to righteousness. And it's this book that instructs me how to live out in my life now who I am in Christ. Remember the Holy Spirit, He reproves the world of sin and of righteousness. And it's this book that instructs us in righteousness, who Christ is and how we can be right in the sight of God. I'll tell you, the inspired Scripture, the Holy Spirit has communicated the Word through inspiration. The product or result of that is we have the Bible. And because we have the Bible, we profit in the area of indeed doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And the purpose statement in verse 17 reveals this, that or so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Because we have the Scripture, God's people can be perfect. Now the idea of perfect here is not just sinless, but the idea is mature and completely furnished. That is, that we have all that we need. We have perfectly all that we need. It's further defined in the next statement where it says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, we have everything that we need to live out the kind of life that God has called us to live, to do every good work that God has called us to do. Everything God has called us to do, He's equipped us to be able to do. And the reason why is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in inspiration. Because He's given us this book. This book equips us with everything we need to do everything we're supposed to be doing. Every good work. How does the Holy Spirit communicate the Word? Through revelation. By unveiling and uncovering divine truth to the apostles. And by inspiration. He moved in such a way that that which was unveiled was also recorded for us in the Bible. So that we have in the Bible, the Holy Spirit moved in such a way that this book is actually the Word of God. When the authors of the Bible wrote, they wrote in such a way, and God was moving in such a way that what they wrote was indeed the Word of God. How do I know that Christ died for my sins? The Bible tells me so. How do I know about His death on the cross? Because the Holy Spirit moved in inspiration, and that which was revealed is recorded for us. How do we know about the early church? How do we know about the ministry that they experienced and the Spirit of God that filled them and how they shared the gospel? How do we know about that? Because that which was revealed is recorded because of the ministry of inspiration. How do we know about the body of Christ? Because the Holy Spirit moved in Paul and he wrote about it in his epistles. He not only revealed it to Paul, there was not only revelation, but then there was inspiration so that Paul wrote it. And as he was writing, he was actually writing the Word of God. If all that the Holy Spirit did was reveal to the apostles, and there was no inspiration so that we have the Scriptures, then all of that would have been lost with the first generation. But he not only moved through revelation, but through inspiration, so that that which was revealed to the apostles and the prophets has been preserved for us in this book. That's a reason why that many of us, when somebody comes along and says that they have new revelation that's never been revealed before, that's a reason why that a lot of us are a little bit leery of that person. We're a little concerned about that, aren't we? Because of the fact that when the Spirit of God moved, He revealed all that there is. He revealed Christ and everything that pertains to Christ to the apostles and the prophets. And by inspiration, they wrote. And you and I have a record of that revelation, which leads me now to the third point. The Spirit of God, as He communicates the Word, He not only does so through revelation and inspiration, but also through illumination. Now here's what I mean by illumination. The Holy Spirit who revealed truth to the apostles and who recorded it in the Scriptures also illuminates the minds and hearts of individuals so that we can understand that truth. He illuminates our minds and our hearts so that we can understand that truth. The truth that was revealed to the apostles and recorded in the Scriptures by inspiration. He illuminates us so that we can understand that truth. He enlightens our minds and our hearts so we can grasp it and understand it. There are three aspects up to it. I'll give them to you quickly and then I'll quit. Number one, the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit involves the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You remember John 14:26, where Jesus told us there that indeed when the Holy Spirit comes, He will indeed teach you. He will be your teacher. We find that again in 1 John 2:27. I won't take time to go read it, but there the Bible says the anointing that we have received of Him is the same that teaches us. Don't need any man teach you. The anointing teaches you. That anointing is referring to the person of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of God's people. He teaches us. In other words, here's what happens. Not only does the Holy Spirit reveal truth to the prophets and the apostles, not only did He inspire them so that the truth was recorded in this book, the Scriptures that we have, but also now the same Holy Spirit is the one who opens our hearts and opens our mind so that we can understand the truth that's recorded so long ago. How in the world can 21st century people understand this book written in the first century? You say, Pastor, I just don't understand the Bible. Listen to me now. The key is to have the author living on the inside of you. And He'll teach you. The illuminating work of the Holy Spirit through His teaching. There not only is the teaching of the Spirit, but there is the light from the Scriptures. And that is, that as the Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures, that the Bible itself is illuminating. That is, those who read it, they are illuminated by the book itself. It itself is divine light. Here's how Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter chapter number 1. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, he wrote, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Listen now, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He said you ought to pay careful attention to what has been revealed by the Holy Spirit, like you would pay attention to a light shining in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, till the Lord comes back, you pay attention to this prophecy. And then he goes on and he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, that's what he's talking about, the prophecy of the Scripture. That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's saying that the Scripture has been given to us by the Holy Spirit, not by man. Therefore, it's not man who interprets, but it's the Holy Spirit who interprets. And listen to me now, this book is like a light shining in a dark place. If you were to read in Psalms 19 and verse 8, you'll find that indeed the Word of God is described as a light. Y'all remember Psalm 119, 105, where the Bible says that the Word of God is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Remember that? Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. That is, it is from the Scriptures that you and I are indeed enlightened. Illuminated by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. There's a passage that's interesting to me. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'll move to the final point. In Luke 24, after our Lord has died, after he's raised from the dead, he appears to his disciples. Now, these are the guys who have just not been understanding what's going on. Jesus has been fulfilling Old Testament Scripture over and over and over again, and they just don't get it. They just don't seem to understand. Their minds are dull. They just don't get it. And so the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 24 and verse 44, he said unto them, Jesus said this to his disciples when he met with them after his resurrection. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. That is, what he's saying to them is what he said while he was with them before his death, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets in the Psalms concerning me. In other words, he's saying, listen, all that's been going on is the fulfillment of everything that was revealed in the Old Testament. And then listen to this verse. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You like that? That's what Jesus said. He opened their understanding so they could understand the Scriptures. Now listen, he's gone now, but his Spirit is still doing that same work. He's opening our understanding so that we can understand the Scriptures. That's illumination. The light from the Scriptures, being able to see it because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is communicating the Word through illumination. That involves the teaching of the Spirit and the light from the Scriptures, and then finally, the gifts among the saints. The Holy Spirit has done something that I consider to be a really neat thing. The Holy Spirit has not only inspired the Word of God so that we have the light from the Scriptures. He not only indwells the people of God so they have the author of the book living on the inside of them, but he has also gifted the saints. That is, within the body of Christ, among the saints, there are individuals that the Holy Spirit has gifted with gifts that illuminate the Word, so that we're able to understand what it is that the Holy Spirit is communicating to us. We can understand what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us, not only because of His teaching as He indwells us, not only because of the light that He's given us in the Scriptures that He inspired, but also because among the saints there are gifted individuals who He has gifted so that they help us understand what it is that the Holy Spirit is communicating to us. These spiritual gifts are highlighted for us in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians chapter number 4. Some of those gifts some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives include the gift of prophecy. You'll see that stated in Romans 12, 6 and 1 Corinthians 12, 10. The gift of being able to proclaim the Word of God in a powerful way. The gift of prophecy. There are those who are gifted in that way. And the reason why the Holy Spirit has gifted them is to help the rest of us understand what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Word. There are those who have the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching is mentioned in Romans 12, 7. If the gift of prophecy is the ability to be able to expound the Scriptures in a powerful way, the gift of teaching is the gift to be able to explain them in a convincing way. And do you know that the Holy Spirit living on the inside of the redeemed, that there are certain individuals that have the gift of teaching so that they're able to take the Word of God and be able to communicate and explain it in such a way that you and I can understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. There's the gift of exhortation revealed in Romans 12, 8, the gift of encouragement, those who speak an encouraging word. There's the gifts of wisdom and knowledge, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge revealed in 1 Corinthians 12, 8. That's the ability to be able to understand the Word of God and apply it to our life. The Holy Spirit gives people in that sort of way. In Ephesians chapter number 4, he mentions four different groups of people that are gifted and that are God's gift to the church. God has gifted the church with four groups of people to help us understand the Word of God and grow. One of them is what he calls apostles. That's the 12, is it not? The apostles, along with Paul and a few others that are named apostles as well as the prophets. In the New Testament church, there were those who were prophets who received a word from God and communicated it to people. And then there were the evangelists, those who were gifted to be able to take the word of God to the lost. And then there were the pastor teachers that are revealed there as well. They are God's gift to the church, and the Holy Spirit has gifted them and equipped them to be able to explain the word of God and teach the word of God in such a way that you and I can understand what the Holy Spirit has been trying to communicate to us. And that's how we are illuminated. That is, our minds and hearts are enlightened as to what it is the Holy Spirit has revealed to the apostles and inspired so that we have the scriptures. Now, here we are with this revelation. We got it right here. The Holy Spirit revealed and inspired, and it's recorded for us right here. And we also have illumination now so we can understand it. The Spirit of God teaching us, the one who lives on the inside of us. That's right. We have the light that comes from the scripture itself. You can read it and you'll understand. And then there are the gifts that he's given among the saints. Those who can take this book, they can study it, understand it, and communicate it. And the only reason why they can is because the Holy Spirit has given them the ability, the gifts, the enabling to do so. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll have a great ministry to perform. Not only will he comfort the weak, and not only will he convict the world, but I tell you, he communicates the word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your truth and your people and all that you blessed us with tonight. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to grasp it, to chew on it, to think about it, and that you would use it in our lives to help us understand tonight that you are revealing, speaking God who wants to communicate your word to us. And we thank you for the means by which you've done it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.